May the 19th, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the one that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran is revelation showing something that was not seen. The Quran is revelation, not just talk. Revelation means showing something that was not seen. If it was already seen, then why is it revelation? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That is another complete verse. So the thanks is to God. That is one statement. Rabbil Alameen, Lord of the worlds, that is another statement. One day we will take our Fatiha and we will see the repeat, how two expression comes with each verse for a total of 14 that unlocks not just seven. There are seven seals and seven verses. But each verse is double key, has double key. Two keys. In the Quran, it says, God, all the keys to the heavens and the earth. So the Quran is a book to be read. That means read. But when we read in the Quran, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about revelation, about Quran, you know that you are not only to read the book, it is a book to be studied. It is a book to be recited. It is a book to be understood. All these terms are in Quran that tells us that this about the Quran. So the greatest fear that the religious leaders have to fear, that's what they keep secret, will be told openly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that when he gave the messenger the message of Quran to Muhammad, the prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him. He exposed all of their secrets. I can't expose their secrets. They are already exposed. God has already exposed them. I just read what God has done. But if you cannot make the right connections, you will not even know that God is exposing the secrets because you do not make the right connections. The leader has taught the masses of the people, the majority of the people in religion, students, their private little secret students. They have taught them all in a way so you will never make the connection. You will think this is all just talk. You to know that it has reference to something. So you cannot make the connection with the reference, so you cannot learn the Quran. You cannot see the superiority of the Quran if you do not know what it is talking about in history of religions, many Christianity and Judaism. Then you do not know the superiority of the Quran. Lahab. The Quran, Surah 111, Surah Lahab. This necklace is a halter of firewood about her neck. It is from the palm tree, but it is not fiber. We understand, Father, we might say, he is questioning the book. Yes, I am. Fiber suggests to me something fine, a fiber of cloth. A fruit is a little fine thing. So this is not a fine thing. It is a halter about her neck. If you can imagine a soft branch made into a necklace, that is what the pitcher and the palm tree has small branches that can be made into a rope. He's carrying firewood, so the curse is on her. That was promised to that she would have this firewood, but it will be like a rope around her neck, like a necklace on her neck, meaning she is going to be destroyed by her own devices. Don't question the teacher to prove your teacher wrong. Question the teacher to understand. I love my teachers, all of them, because they were teaching me. I thought they deserved my love. If they didn't want to teach me, that would be something different. The half-flame passion. The Quran, Surah 111, Ayat 1, perish the father of flame. Flame in poetry means passion. Al-Lahab, Abu Lahab, was the uncle of the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. Literally translated means father of the flame. Flame in poetry means passion, and usually passion of anger or of love. So literature has established the meaning of fire and flame. So when you speak of a person being full of fire, it means full of anger or full of passion. So when you speak of a person having ice in their blood, what do you mean? Very cold-hearted. It says, and his woman, Imra, is not wife. It is woman. She doesn't get the respect of wife, because she was very bad. She was a very bad woman, and he was a very bad man. So they were not really husband and wife. They are not respected as husband and wife. They were just doing their evils together. It was his woman doing evil with him. So what is the meaning of hatat? Firewood, it is like ropes. If you've seen basket weaving, it used to be ropes made of wood fiber, grass, they call them. It says, Fajida hat in her neck, but neck is not GD. Ukud is neck. So this is only neck when you're talking about a woman putting a necklace on. It is talking about the area where the necklace hangs. And this area where she would have a necklace was a halter of palm fiber, a rope like a necklace. That is the picture you get, like a rope. For black people, many may be a noose. They hung so many of our people for hundreds of years until I think it went into my genes. I don't like ties. Nothing choking my neck. I don't like it. I used to go to the temple. And as soon as I got away from the brother, that Muslim, I would take that tie off. I just had to take it off. It is uncomfortable to me. It feels like something is choking me a little bit. Heblin means what? It is a rope, but some translations say halter. And a halter is something you put around your neck, like a necklace. What is a halter? It is a necklace. I used to sell things, cosmetics and costume jewelry. Halter is something that is fixed. It is not something that has been. That is not a halter. If I remember correctly, a halter is not like the regular necklace that has been. The halter has its shape and stays in that shape. It's a kind of stiff like a horseshoe. It is a necklace. It is different from a regular necklace. Allah forces invisible. The Quran, Surah 112, Ayat 1-4, Allah is eternal. The Quran, Surah 57, Ayah 3, Allah is seen and unseen. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 62, the believers say has no fear nor grief. Unseen forces control dominant life, changes physical form. God has always been present in this world, in his creation, in his signs, and in the activity that we experience as graces of Almighty God. So we know in al-Islam that God is not creation or visible matter or something that is on time that comes into existence and undergoes change of decay and has to be reformed. But God is the creator who was never born, never made, but has existed eternally. And God is seen and unseen, that is, he is evident or apparent, obvious, or also hidden from our perception. But that does not make us feel that God is less real. Objects that are not detectable by the physical and really the most powerful thing. So the sun is a ball of fire, is a distance from us, but its invisible energy reaches us and grows the food that we eat and gives us the physical strength that we have. And then in our own makeup, there are forces of joy, sadness, intelligence working in our lives. And these forces are the real forces that control, dominate our being, dominate our being. So we know that the unseen forces are stronger in our lives as influences. The man who is young, looking, healthy, youthful, he can get problems into his life, family, job problems. And these problems that are invisible can actually change his physical form. He can begin to look old, weak, gray. His hair, what is this worries. It is nothing that we can see. The eye, we can't even take a microscope and find it. It is something that has no material body, but look what this force does to our material body. So it has to be, as human beings, believe in the force other than physical matter. So human beings has this nature. No one had to come and convince human beings that they are forces that you should respect, that are non-material. The most primitive of youngsters, of civilization, of society, have come to the belief without science, without preaching, coming to preach to them. It is just a natural thing for human beings to come to believe in powers and forces that are above the physical creation. So this is the nature in us that leads us to the correct belief in God or to the correct worship of God. So we begin as babies in everything, in worldly knowledge, and we grow into scientific knowledge. Scientists begin as babies in spiritual knowledge, and we grow into spiritual knowledge. Science tells us that Almighty God has helped science get where it is today. I remember reading a book written on Einstein where he was giving credit to Almighty God. I also remember reading a book on the life of the one who invented penicillin. And he was telling how he felt God's presence in his experiments and how God made possible his great success. So we know as Muslims that many great scientists came up in al-Islam. And they were not only men who discovered God's working in their experiment, but they were men who were motivated to become scientists by al-Islam. So we see evidence of God's working in science and evidence of God's working in the ordinary human life. And is evident, convincing proof to us that Almighty God exists. So we do not have to see him as we see each other. In fact, if we are coming to right understanding, the way we see each other in our hearts is not what we see each other with our eyes. The way we see each other with our hearts is the real scene. So the way we see each other with our eyes is not the real scene. So Almighty God wants us to be aware of little things that are helping all about, happening all about us in the sky, the earth, in the activity that goes on between sky and earth. So if we would just take all of these things, we would get renewed faith. We would become faithful people. We will know that God exists, and we will know that he has the power to do whatever he wills, because Quran says everything in the heavens and the earth bears witness to the existence of Almighty God, Most High. So if we had the interest and the time to really look and examine what is going on about us in the sky, on earth, and everywhere, we would see plain signs of God and his presence, his great wonders, gifts, his great generosity to man. So man having only God's creation wouldn't go wrong. Pulsation, carrying thoughts to your mind. Almighty God has made the whole heavens and earth, yourself and everything that exists, to give off a kind of message, a kind of pulsation. It carries through to your mind. If we had nothing to listen to but God's creation, we wouldn't go wrong. But when man comes into the picture and begins to stray from God's creation and come with his own ideas of what the environment should be like, then his environment begins to influence us, and we get the same pulsations from his environment. So what we have as trouble in our lives comes from bad pulsation made by man, not by Almighty God. So weak man fears poverty, not God. Wicked man fears poverty, not God. So when we come out of the house and to the street, we see man's creation. We look at the billboard, and we see what man is suggesting to our mind. And this man is not the man who fears God. This is a man who fears poverty. He wants the billboard to bring us to his store, or to the store where his products are sold. So we wake up in the morning, we turn on the television, and we get the pulsations from the television. These are not the pulsations from Almighty God's creation. These are the pulsations from the man who wants you to buy the product that he has for sale at some store. So what we have is a world and has become so filled now with pulsations from this materialistic man that we have to battle for our lives to survive harder than primitive man had to battle in the wild jungle. Our world is more filled with enemy forces designed to hurt our good nature, vendors forces the jungle of violence, or forces of wild creatures against man. So we could go right now to the jungle, and in a little time we could establish a peaceful, healthy, lovingly society for ourselves. Look how hard it is to establish that society in the modern world. It is because the modern world is more corrupt, more fraught with evil and danger to human life than the jungle ever was. So their minds, the people of this world, are people who like experimentation in their religion. And they hope somebody will come up with a better religion, Catholicism, Protestantism, whatever they hope. Maybe you will come up with something better. And what are they looking for? Something that gives them more freedom to do their work. But this kind of mind is not acceptable in El-Islam. We cannot experience with our religion to come up with something that pleases us better. We have to accept what God has given us and then make our lives conform to that. God will not allow us to fit our religion and our own desires, fit our desires to our religion, in that it is a difference between Muslim mind and the non-Muslim mind. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah closer to you than your jugular vein. Never doubt that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever present. He is also close to you as your jugular vein. The Quran says to Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, and to every believer, the eternal caudal artery and jugular vein are inside your body, and it carries blood from the head, and if someone touch the internal caudal artery, there is no more food going to the brain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as close to you as that sauce that feeds your brain. In fact, he is the sauce that feeds your brain. And if you just turn off the foolishness of this world and apply your senses and listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listen to the Quran, follow Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, you will gain your life again and you will get your good senses. Allah is seen with knowledge, not spiritual emotion. So man's strongest part is intelligence that must lead spirit. Spirit without intelligence is nothing but forces of destruction. Where is the strongest part of the man? It is his spirit. No, the spirit is the strongest part of man for destruction. But there is something stronger in man for salvation. Someone might say, I believe the spirit is the strongest for salvation. Spirit without intelligence is nothing but forces of destruction. Intelligence must lead spirit. Do you think God is God because he is some emotional existence? No. He is God because he is the highest in knowledge. He embodies all knowledge. He has all the knowledge. The book says he is the light, knowledge, truth. So if God was only spirit, emotionalism, or emotion, he wouldn't be light. He would be darkness. What light can we find in spirit unless the spirit is lit with knowledge? Allah al-Samad, the Quran Surah 112, say Allah is one. That is why it is said in the Quran, God says, Kul, say, he is God is one, and God is eternal. He always has existed. That's what it means, al-Samad. Resisting anything that will affect him, nothing can infect them, nothing can infect him, nothing can penetrate him. He is al-Samad, the eternal, that resists anything that was to affect him, and that includes life and death, touches him not. Not this life you have. The mortal life touches him not. The death touches him not. But he is living, the eternal, the source of life for everything. He never gave birth to anything, to something like a father or a girl or a boy. It has direct reference to a boy through, though never did he give birth to son. Never was he a son born to someone, and never has there exist anything like him. The Quran Surah 113, Ayat 1 to 3, Falaq. It's a separation of darkness from light. So the emphasis is a separation. And when man begins to see the distinction, between intelligence and guidance and the selfish use of a thing, then that's the dawning of his mind. That's the faculty. It's breathing, but it has an allusion to the soil of the individual person. So this is coming from the individual person, and he breathes into something called the knot. In religious symbolism, rope or strings refer to spiritual knowledge used for knots. So it is confusing in spiritual knowledge and the interpretation of revealed knowledge. Knots is translated into firm resolution, your conviction. So this idea that faith is good for you, then some suggest come from another person into your resolve, your made up mind, to shake the unity of that made up your mind, to break the resolve. So there is no inspiration coming from any human soul. It comes from the knowledge. You have nothing concrete to say until knowledge touches you. Prophet Muhammad didn't say he was inspired before he said, Bismillah, read in the name of your Lord who created. Wisdom comes from his mouth. We see the evidence of his inspiration. Rav suggests that the work is to bring the base, elementary things to its complete potential, maturity, bringing that which is in its raw, weak, undeveloped form for complete development. So he is the Rav of the daybreak. Dawn is referring to the proper education, knowledge of right thinking, attitude. He is the one who takes it at its early beginning. He is protector of the early development of man's intellect, and his soul. So reference from evil, refuge from evil. It is the drawing of the intelligent that enables man to protect himself against the learned harm in created things, not the harm in acting itself out, but it's latent. It's a problem harms there, a possible harm there. The wrong approach to it, the misuse of it, will bring bad consequences or harm. Allah has not created any harm. He has created it for benefit. But the absence of knowledge causes us to use it wrongly or approach it wrongly. Care equals good, harm equals share. The Quran Surah 113, Ayat 1 to 4. The Quran Surah 3, Ayat 117. Allah wrong not, but it is from self. Bukhari, page 9, 525b. Allah good only accepts good. 40 Hadith, page 84, 25 sex charity. So the whole book, Quran, is a prayer, but the praise, I seek refuge. The phrase, pardon me. I seek refuge. This is asking for help. Anyone can say these prayers. I am pointing to the universality of al-Islam, of the Quran, the word of God, and the Sunnah Uswa of Prophet Muhammad, prayers in the peace be upon him. Share means harm. The phrases say, seek refuge from the harm. They say evil. The Arabic term is share, means harm. That's which benefit is the Arabic term net. Share refers to that which takes away from the value and quality of something, whatever hurts something. It is share. It is more than evil. It is harm. Evil suggests an intent on somebody's part, right? But there is no intent in matter to hurt us. God created matter to serve us. Well, he didn't create anything to hurt us. He created this whole world and even fire. But he didn't create fire to hurt us. He created the fire to comfort and add us not to his hurt, not to hurt us. But many people get the share of the fire. It is not because God intended it that way. He did not intend any share. That is why God said, it is not God who harms you. It is you who harm your own soul. Sometimes it is done in complete ignorance. We just don't know. the proper use or approach to things, etc. So we get the harm of it instead of this intent that God intended for us. So this is the benefit and not the harm. God intends nothing but good. All good only accept Allah's good, only accept good. Sex charity. Respond means your sense are working. React means your senses are not necessarily working. In the Quran it says, I seek refuge with the Lord of the dawn from the daybreak, from the harm of what is created, or we can say from the harm of what he created. So there is a benefit and harm in everything. They say even this water that we think is harmless. I'm not talking about when there's pollution in it, the pure water. You can get a sickness and even the water will have to be taken off of your food list. We will have to give it to you some other way, right? The doctor will take you off of it and you can't take the water directly. You will have to have it, or you will have to take it to take the water some other kind of way, in food or something, or even through the vein. In some situations, you can't drink it by mouth. So everything has a benefit, and it also has a harm. And when Prophet Muhammad, prayers in the peace be upon him, told his followers of an advice for the sexual act, he said, there's a reward. I guess he said it to awaken their mind to a problem that they had, and the problem of some people to react to these things rather than respond to things. Respond means your senses are working. React doesn't necessarily mean that your good senses are working. So there are people that just react to things. This results over the years in people having problems with sex, illegitimate birth, the loss of wives. Some men has culture makes sex a dirty thing, a sin thing, that dirty sex that is sin, yet he keeps sinning, though he says that he doesn't. So the prophet's followers ask, how is this good in sex? He said, if you did it unwillingly, unlawfully, wouldn't there be a punishment? There is share and the other kahera in everything that God has kadira. So he has set the balance for this good and evil. He has put it in the balance, and if you respect the balance, you get the good. If you disrespect the balance, you get the harm of the measure of it. So it is a difficult word to translate. It means God in creating, he has already set the rule for governing these things. The rule was set by God before we were even created in the matter itself. He has set the rule and has determined how the creation will yield benefit and goodness, and how it will cause or bring harm of laws. It is all set by God and has already been determined by him in the making of the creation itself. Gesetzen means not only intense darkness, it is also intense corruption. Necessity, evil suggests into your firm resolution. From the harm of the evil, they translated intense darkness. But this world, Gassafin, is not only intense darkness, it's also intense corruption. It is a darkness that suggests hints at faith, corruption, offensive things to the good taste of human beings. And civilized societies, when it comes, we know with darkness also comes corruption. With ignorance also corruption of morals, the culture of the life, and from the harm of the necessity, Mesetati. And they translate it to literally from the evil of the whisper who whispers or blows into the night. So this sounds like witchcraft, which it is. It has reference to witchcraft. But let's get the better understanding. As one commentary gives, and I think one translation gives too, from the harm or from the evil of the one who casts evil suggestions into your firm resolution to break the tie of your conviction or your resolution. You have resolved to obey God, to stay away from this harm or forbidden things. And here comes the snaky caster of suggestions. He casts the suggestions without you knowing what he has cast. Before you know it, he's got you in trouble. His language was so smooth, so stubborn, that you thought he was a good advisor. The Quran, Surah 114, Ayah 4, whisper into the hearts. So whisper into the hearts, not the mind, at first. Then we begin to give our minds to the weak thoughts that we have let our hearts become fastened to affection. Sometimes can trip us quick and trap us quicker than the appeal of logic or our feelings, just go blindly. The emotionals are blind. The Quran, Surah 114, Ayat 1-5, Rab, birth, evolve. So the first line says, I seek refuge in the one who gives the birth and then develops it until it reaches completion, then provide for it everything that it needs for his existence. What does that for us on a human or lower level? It is our parent. After being born out of the parent, we are nourished and raised by them. They care for us and help us grow stage by stage until we become adults in our hearts, in our minds, and in our bodies. After we become strong adults and have reached our full growth as men, our parents leave their wealth with us, if they have accumulated it, to carry on for them after they are gone. Man as father for community. So man has had the freedom to move out from the home and build up strength and become the leaders of the world. The woman had to stay home and carry the baby 9 months and raise children. So the man has become the ruler in the world. Since he has become the ruler in the world, he is the one that acts as the father for the community or for the nation. So we leave the father's house and come out as young men. We take on a wife. We get a home of our own and become a father. The Quran, Surah 114, Ayat 2, refuge from kings, but we still come under another father. He's not called father, he was called king in the days when this book was revealed. Today they called him president and other rulers over the country or the nation. We come out from under the father of the house as a young man and out of there and out into the city life or country life. There we fall under a bigger father who called king, president, or whatnot. Then many of us soon learn that the king is not a father that's worthy for us to worship. Father couldn't hold me, so I came out and fell under the laws of the king. Pretty soon I learned that the king makes mistakes. The king is not worthy of me worshiping him. Then the man turns and worships something else. He grows to worship God, a god. He comes against the king with the divine authority that he gets from God and comes against father with the authority of the king. So when the man grows like this, he's just growing up as God has ordered or ordained or willed it that he grows. he never really becomes grown up until he comes in contact with the God. So many men worship their parents. Others worship their political leaders, their kings, their presidents, worship their deities or their gods. But it is not always ruled that God is the real God. Man now has in us nations growing desire that becomes so powerful and so mature that it can't accept that father in the house to be the image that he worships. Then he knows then he goes to a higher level, and he can't accept that the king be the image of worship for him. Then he goes to a higher level, and he can't accept that the president or the king be an image of worship for him. Then he grows to another level, and he refuses to accept God that he once bowed down to and worship. So if we worship our parents, and I will rise from baby to one height that God wants us at one time or another, we are going to live to outgrow the parent and to see that the parent is not that thing that we should worship at one time or another. We are going to outgrow the president or the king, and we are going to see that they are not what we should worship at once. And me and another, we are going to outgrow our own common goods, our own and made God, and we're going to realize that these gods are too small for us to worship. Family structure to government. In this chapter so far, we see that the rise of what they are primitive societies begin at selecting their fathers to be chief over the family or over the tribe. And they would follow and obey and worship father. And the tribe grows and multiplies. It becomes too much for one family man to do. So he has to select her family men, to serve in his cabinet or his government. He becomes a leader over families or over tribes and becomes a king or a president. Then they grow and wealth accumulates and problems accumulate. The accumulate of wealth and human problems become so great that they can't worship any kind anymore, a king anymore. So the people have to turn to their God, for themselves, the God to turn to of their own mind and of their own desires to have refuge from the king. So the mind of the people continues to grow because God is coming. It grows so big that they can't worship the God that they worship yesterday, today. They throw down the God that they worship. Then they begin to think that they are gods. So worship nature now that the man has gotten set up with the God that he has made, and he has something whispering in his heart. He's going to repent the same old thing again. The first man in his ignorance let nature whisper in his heart and made him worship nature. Man coming to rule over nature rises to become king and to break from the king and worship deities or gods. Something resisted in his heart when he gets fed up with the God that he worships, and he sees that they still failed him. Something worshiped in his heart. They are no God. I am God. So Gen means Gentile who followed emotion. Gen means Gentile people, savage people, who follow their emotion. Don't think this definition doesn't fit. People today in modern times is referred then to savage, wild-like people who give themselves to emotional outbursts and don't fall under his rule of knowledge. We have many people, large parts of the of that, won't give themselves to knowledge to submit to an ordinary life. They follow their feelings, their impulses, their emotions. They are just like trash waiting for a wind to come. The wind of foolish joy comes, sweeps them the trash up, and carries it to the air, while the trash carries in the air, it fills that up. But soon the wind stops blowing, and the trash is back down under the feet of the people again. Kenaz, another word for Satan. The jinn are those who don't profess to believe in God. They give themselves to their wild passions or their wild habits in nature. Nets is the name given in the Quran to the people who profess a belief in God. In this chapter, you have something called Kenaz. This is another word for Satan or the devil. Devil in the heart thinking. So what is the Holy Quran telling us in this chapter? It is telling us that the devil is in the heart of the people. The devil is in your thinking, in your wicked desires. When this thing grows in you, it makes you become a devil. We have devils amongst Gentiles, and we have devils amongst the religious people. We have to seek God's protection from everybody. So we seek his protection from the parents who want to be our gods and who want to stand as a block keeping us from worshiping God. We seek his protection from the king, the political rulers, or the presidents who stand in the way and wants to keep the people from giving themselves to God direction. We seek his protection from man, who are the two categories. Some don't profess to believe in God. They say, I follow what I want to follow. We seek protection from them because the devil has grown up in their heart and in their mind and has made them become a devil. Devil grows in your heart thinking for wickedness and in your mind thinking for wickedness. You have the germ of a devil. So when that germ dominates your whole being, you have become a devil. You don't have to be out of the church to be a devil. You can be in the church and be a devil. That let us know exactly where the devil gets his birth and how he becomes a former or a living being walking on the earth. That chapter also tells us that the growth of worship and how God has been growing or moving constantly in the people, he has been moving them from inferior belief and inferior worship to higher belief and higher worship. I want to read to you something that is very important. The Quran contains books, kutiban, books in there, correcting this, is addressing the people of the book, Jews and Christians, directly, and to all people, indirectly, because the Prophet came to give the message of Islam to all people. But it addresses the people of the book directly. The Quran contains books in the correct form. Would the Arabs have known anything about this? No. The Arabs were not people of the book. So how could they know of this? How could they know about this? About books being entered in their correct or even in the incorrect state, they were not people who received scripture. so that the statement would mean nothing at all to them until it was taught to them. They would have to be taught the revelation. Then that statement would mean something to them. But any person of the book, any person of scripture, they would use on what they was talking about. Those who are students of scripture or acquainted with scripture, like others, the Bible, the Old Testament, the Torah, the Gospel, the Injil, they were acquainted with those books. So when the prophet said this, they would understand. But the Arabs would not, unless prophet or someone had taught them. They were called in the Quran the Ummiyun people. And Ummiyun means that they did not know scripture. They were not people who could not read scripture or had it read to them. They had not received scripture. Prophet Muhammad came, and the people who had not received scripture before, that's the Arab people, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Prayers and peace be upon him, Rahimahullah. Also, a perfect, I don't like to think that I'm created to sin. And I don't like to think that I have to become an angel in order to be perfect. I would like to think that I can become a good human being and make a mistake tonight and still be perfect. I am a perfect human being. A perfect human being does not mean that I am an angel. It means that I am perfect human being. And a perfect human being is a well-meaning person that will repent for wrong, that's a perfect human being. A well-meaning person that will repent for the wrong that he or she does. That's as perfect as I want to be, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Salakallahu Ladeem, surely Allah speaks the truth. Next week we will start with the Ramadan session. This is concluded. So we'll be able to stay tuned next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. We will start the Ramadan session. Thank you, may God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.